To the book of Jeremiah. We are considering Jeremiah and his life and legacy, and trying to concentrate a lot on Jeremiah himself. And today, especially, we will be doing that. We will be looking at Jeremiah as an example to us. And title of the message today, if we're to give it the title, is Me and the Lord God of Hosts. Me and the Lord God of Hosts. And obviously that title would have an indication that we're talking about the relationship that a believer has with the Lord. And that relationship that a believer has with the Lord is exemplified in Jeremiah here today. And so I want to think a little bit about that and see him as an example to us. Jeremiah is a great example to us for those who are suffering difficulties and trials. And so we find that, and all the prophets were a people who had great difficulties, had great trials that were sometimes seemed insurmountable, and that the Lord saw them through it. Jeremiah is one who's referred to in the scripture, or referred to, we refer to him, he certainly is, the weeping prophet. And aside from the book of Jeremiah, we know he wrote the book of Lamentations, and Lamentations are all his lamentings. They're all his weeping and sorrowing over his people, and the fact that they had walked away from God, and God sent them, brought them, took them into captivity. God brought judgment upon them. And so we want to think about me and the Lord God of Hosts. Jeremiah is going through some trials here in this text. And we're going to see, nonetheless, that the Lord is really good to him and that he is provisioned by the Lord. And so we'll look at today, first of all, we'll look at Judah's doom by rejecting God. In other words, the kingdom of Judah as well as that of Israel. And then second thing we'll look at is Jeremiah's deliverance by God's call. And then finally, we'll be looking at the blessing in the trial from Jeremiah's Lord. And so we'll think about those three things today. And let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin, before we read. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings again. Thank you for providing for us and caring for us. And we just pray for your sustaining grace to be upon each one that might be suffering at this time. I could be going through trials of all different sorts. We know, Lord, that every one of us have trials in our lives, have difficulties, and we just pray that you might give us grace to know that there's not a temptation that's taken us or trial that's taken us, but such as is common to man, but that you will with it also make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. And we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your grace in sustaining us through difficult times and hardship. And we just pray that you bless it. Today that we might be encouraged from your word, and that your word might be that, Lord, that will bring joy to our lives. We'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you do. Help us glorify you by rejoicing in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So looking at this passage, we find, Judah is being doomed by the Lord. The Lord is speaking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is getting this message from the Lord that God's judgment is about to fall upon his people. And we find here that not only does he see that, but we also see the Lord speaking to Jeremiah and saying, you know, these people have forsaken me, and as a nation, they had forsaken the Lord. They were a bunch of lost people. I mean, in general, there were a whole lot of lost people. Didn't know the Lord as their Savior. But as a nation, historically, they had departed from the Lord. They'd gotten away from the Lord. They were, as a nation, they were as a people, they'd kind of become idolatrous, and they had taken on the idolatrous worship of the nations around about them. They had taken on these had taken on polytheism. They had become worshipers of many, many gods, and that's something that was a reality. It was and we'll read about a certain king that they had that instigated a lot of that. That was kind of one who incited a lot of that kind of activity. But nonetheless, they were all responsible for going right into it. So we find though that. That's where we're at here. And God is just going to kind of comfort Jeremiah and give him some comfort that even in this and in the fact that Jeremiah, you're not going to be able to succeed in interceding and making things better for these people because they are determined that they're not going to be made better and they're going to do their own thing. And so what we find here is that there's kind of a sad, it's kind of a dark story in some ways. And yet there's one person here that is being identified, that we have identified as Jeremiah, who's one of the Lord's people, clearly one of the Lord's people, and the Lord is just taking care of him. And he's taking care of him as he's kind of suffering alone. He's going through difficulty by himself. And it's not like he's got a lot of people around him. It's not like he's got people encouraging him at this time. He's just having to go through. There's certain kinds of trials, you know, that are just kind of yours. And you don't really have, there's not anybody that can really lift you up or sustain you or strengthen you. A lot of things that are different from that. A lot of things, you know, people see and they can see that there's difficulty and there's trial and we can encourage one another and that's all great. But here with Jeremiah, it seemed like he's on his own. And just has the Lord. But what we see is the Lord is enough. The Lord's enough for us. And so looking at the passage, let's read it. And the first, if we were to break it down, first nine verses, we'll see the doom of Judah. We'll see the Lord talking about Jeremiah a little bit in verses 10 and 11 and in verses 15 to 21. And then there's this blessing that's in verse 16 that's just a huge blessing from the Lord unto Jeremiah that we're going to be concentrating on. But we want to get through this other part of it and just so we get the context of what's going on here. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And it should come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death, to death. And such as are for the sword, to the sword. And such as are for the famine, to the famine. And such as are for the captivity, to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord. The sword, to slay. And the dogs, to tear, and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backwards. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people since they return not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly and terrors upon the city. She that hath borne seven languisheth. And she that hath given up the ghost, her son is gone down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I discover to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in a time of evil, in a time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel. Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thine hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Now, those last words are the words of the Lord unto Jeremiah himself, and the fact that the Lord is going to, he's going to take care of Jeremiah. He's going to take care of Jeremiah and his heritage. But his judgment is going to be coming, going to be falling upon the nation. And so verses 1 through 9, and just to break this down, verses 1 through 9, we see Judah's doomed by rejecting God. They've rejected God, so there's doom that's guaranteed. There's no guarantees in the kingdom of God for interceding. No guarantees, I should say. You know, the scripture talks about Moses and Samuel here in verse number 1. It says, the Lord said unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them forth out of thy sight, and let them go forth. What's he saying? Said Jeremiah, I know that Moses and Samuel were successful intercessors. And when they interceded for the people, for my people, then I blessed and I turned and I cared for them and took care of the need and that for which the people for which that they were pleading, I blessed them, I was merciful toward them. We find Moses, an occasion of Moses back in Exodus chapter 32. If you want to turn there, Exodus, the 32nd chapter, and we read about Moses and his interceding. And we know the occasion. The occasion is Moses has been up on Mount Sinai. And what's he doing on Mount Sinai? God's given him the law. The law of Moses has been broken, though, down below the mount by the people of God, by the children of Israel. And the children of Israel are led by Aaron. And Aaron says, hey, let's make a golden calf. And, you know, here's some gold. Here's some stuff we can do. You know, we can take all this stuff and melt it all down and we can make a calf. And of course, he kind of led the people to do the wrong thing. And they were all very accomplished in doing so. But Moses, he was one who would advocate for the people unto God for God's mercy. In chapter 32, look at verse 8, starting verse number 8. The scripture says there, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. God is telling Moses. He says, hey, you know what? I gave them commandments and they've turned aside quickly. They've made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He You're worshiping some other gods and acting like they're the ones that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath and may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now, is that what happened? No, it's not what happened, because Moses interceded. And Moses says, and Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with a great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore, why should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them? He's just going to make a shame on your own name. Moses is pleading with God, is interceding for his people. And he says, hey, it's just going to be a shame to your own name and to slay them in the mountains and to consume them, to destroy the people that you redeemed out of Israel, out of Egypt. He says, from the face of the earth, to turn from thy fierce wrath. He's pleading with God, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Not evil in the sense of sin, for God doesn't sin, but God is a just judge, and he has right to, he could have just brought his judgment upon them at that time. But he did listen to Moses. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And then notice verse 14. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto this people. Now the scriptures tell us that the Lord doesn't ever repent. He doesn't ever change from what his will is, what his true will is. But there are times where in his command will, he commands us to do something, and we don't do it, even though he's commanded us to do it. And we don't do it, then he might bring judgment upon us. He might, though, also deliver us as we plead and intercede, as we confess our sin. He is good to deliver us. And of course, we're not talking about salvation. Eternal salvation is ours. But sometimes we're not walking with the Lord, and the Lord can cause his chastening hand to be upon us. But what we see here is, though, God blessed Moses at that time, and he allowed him to intercede for the people of Israel at the time, for the children of Israel. Samuel was the same way. We'll not turn there, but Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 7, we see, again, a situation where he's pleading with the people. He's an intercessor. He's pleading with the people of God to do right. And they turn and they do right. And God turns and says, hey, what I said that I was going to do to you, I'm not going to do to you now. So God's a merciful God. He's a long-suffering God. He's a patient God. And he's a God that can, at his own will, he can determine to show forth his mercy, or he can be just, and he can continue in his justice. In this occasion that we read about here in Jeremiah, God is not going to listen to Jeremiah's intercession. God's already told him he's not going to. He's told him in times past he's not going to. That this people is a stiff-necked people. They're a stiff-necked people, and they're going to just reject me. And they're going to go on their own way, and they're going to reject me, and they're going to live their way just like the heathen live, and they don't want anything to do with me. And they don't even claim me. They don't claim that I'm the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt. They don't even... This is generations that have followed in Judah and Jerusalem and in Israel, even in the northern kingdom. Jeremiah was a merciful, caring, faithful prophet, and his intercession would not be blessed with success in the sense of the Lord turning from the hard judgment that he's going to bring upon these people. So you say, well, if I'll pray and I'll intercede for somebody, the Lord promises me he's going to bless. Well, no, there's not that kind of promise. You can Trust that he is very merciful, and he will, on many, many occasions, he will show forth his mercy in that sense. But there are some times where that what we pray for is not going to be his will, and what we specifically want is not going to be what is best. And so the Lord is sometimes going to turn us down, and that's going to be the case here with Jeremiah. He says, hey, even if it were Samuel or Moses, this people, I'm going to bring my judgment upon them, and they're going to be brought into captivity. Manasseh is mentioned here in verse number 5. Verse 5 says, "And for who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem?" It says, hey, you know what? Verse 4, Manasseh is mentioned, but it says, "Who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem?" In verse 5, "Or who shall bemoan thee?" You know, you've gone and done this thing for yourself, but Manasseh did, one of the kings of Judah, did kind of entice Judah to do what they've done. It says, "I will cause them to be removed," verse 4, "into all kingdoms of the earth." I'm going to cause that they're going to be scattered abroad. They're not going to be in the land of blessing where I gave them. "Because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem." So, hey, Manasseh has done some bad stuff, and for what he's done, it's been enough that I'm going to scatter these people. I'm going to scatter the people of Israel. Well, Manasseh caused Judah to sin, but they were responsible themselves for sin. It's like Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil, but they're still responsible. They were responsible. They knew what was best. They knew what was right. They had been given God's word, and they're responsible for God's word. And so Manasseh caused Judah to sin, but they're still responsible to God, as we see here in this passage. Judah was going to be met with destruction and doom for all their sin. We read about it in these verses in this first section of this chapter. Okay, now I just want to get to Jeremiah, and I know we kind of rushed along through that. But look with me at, start with verse number 10. In verse 10, the scripture says, "Woe is me." And here is the statement of the Lord. "Woe is me, my mother that thou hast borne me." It says, "My mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention." Woe is me, my mother, that you borne me a man of strife, man of contention to the whole earth. "I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me." They're cursing. Now, this could be God, and it could be Jeremiah here that's talking. In some cases here, we don't know for certain. But here, nonetheless, curses is coming either on directly on Jeremiah, and they were, and persecution was coming on Jeremiah for standing for what was right and standing for the Lord, as opposed to speaking out against the sin of this people. But curses are coming. Persecution belonged to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was persecuted greatly by his own people. Verse number 11. The Lord said, now the Lord speaking, the Lord said, "Verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction." He said, I'm gonna make sure that your family, that your heritage is taken care of. I'm going to make sure, Jeremiah, that things are going to be well for you. Your remnant, you're going to be okay. And any that are with you, any that are the outcasts, any of the others that, and there may have been a few more others with Jeremiah that were seeking to serve the Lord. And he says, you know what, that remnant of yours is going to be provided for. They're going to be blessed. I'm going to take special care of them. He's going to speak again about the judgment that's coming on Judah in the next couple of verses. But down in verse 15, Jeremiah now is pleading with the Lord. And in verse 15 says, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me. And this is an occasion where now Jeremiah is, he's kind of resolved, resigned to the fact that God's judgment is coming upon his people and his intercession is not going to pay off. It's not going to be a benefit, but he's going to keep doing it. But it's not done. He sees that it's not going to be successful. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Now he's talking about himself. Take me not away in thy long suffering. So be long suffering to me and don't take me away into captivity. That know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. So I'm suffering because of what I'm doing right, what you've told me, what you said for me to say. We'll look at verse number 16 briefly, but we'll come back to it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me as joy, the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Verse 17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. You know, you have put me in this position, Lord, in which that I am alone, and I am, no one else is for me. No one is there's just, if there's anybody, it's very few that have come and that are taking care and that are comforting me and that are encouraging me. Nothing is coming. Verse number 18, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Are you gonna be to me waters that fail? Are you gonna be unfaithful to me? Is what Jeremiah is saying. You know, you're gonna turn away from your own people here, from Israel, from the nation, and you're gonna bring judgment upon them. But are you gonna do that to me too? Is that what's gonna happen? And of course, the Lord is going to answer him and show him that isn't going to happen. That he is still going to be blessed. And the Lord's blessing is going to be upon him. In verses 19 to 21, we read about his lot to come. It's not going to be an easy lot. It isn't going to be an easy life. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then I will bring thee again. And thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vile, in other words, if there's any that are precious, that are like you, then thou shalt be as my mouth. He says that'll be good, because you'll be just being like my mouth. I already told them that if they'll come, they'll return to me and trust me and give me glory, do what I'm telling them to do. Then everything will be fine. It says, let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. He says, don't go to them. Don't join in their cause, because their cause is sin. And he says, I'll make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. I'm going to make you kind of a distinct feature to these people. You're going to be separated kind of from these people, and they shall fight against thee. Now, I'm going to make you this way. You don't have to be this way. I'm just going to make you this way. I'm going to separate you. I'm going to make you kind of a different kind of a, they're going to fight against you. You're going to be the whipping child for a while. You're going to go through some difficulty. You're going to have tribulation, but they shall not prevail against thee. He said, but I'm going to take care that they don't win, that they don't prevail. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I'll deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I'll redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So I'm going to take care. I'm going to make sure that you're going to be fine, but it ain't going to be easy. I'm not promising you that the path is going to be an easy path, but I am promising you that I'm going to see you through it. And so what we find here is Jeremiah, the real promise that Jeremiah has is just that the Lord's going to be with him, and he's ultimately going to deliver him. Now, we notice, though, in this in this very difficult path that Jeremiah is given, a life that's so, it's just kind of a gloomy life in some ways. It's a lot, you know, he's been hit with all these tribulations, all these difficulties, all this persecution that's coming upon him, hardships and people betraying him, and all kinds of problems are going on in his life. And personally, this has got to be very hard for Jeremiah. He's called the weeping prophet for a reason, because he's going through terrible, awful, sustained problems and difficulties that he didn't ask for. And the Lord just gonna say, hey, you know what? This is what you've got in store, even some more in the future. But I can be with you. I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna sustain you. You know what? When the Lord does that, when he sustains us, and when his presence is with us, then it's not just okay. Things are not just okay. They're not just, okay, I can endure this then. The Lord gives us much more than that. He can sustain us with what Jeremiah saw here in verse number 16. And verse 16 says, man, this almost looks like things are going great. Verse 16 almost looks like, you know what? This is, Jeremiah must be, if you read verse 16 out of context and just look at verse 16 by itself without looking at the remainder of this chapter, you'd think things must be great for Jeremiah. Everything must be sweet. Verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. In the middle of all of this, we read Jeremiah, and a testimony Jeremiah is given in the midst of all this, that he's rejoicing, that there's joy in all of his sorrow, and all of the, that there's this manner in which that God can internally give him wonderful joy and rejoicing of heart, while externally everything is literally falling apart. Everything's going wrong. Notice the words of verse number 16. Verse 16, God's words, and I'll just say, hey, here's the second part of the message. God's words to us that are the called, us who are called, with the Lord's people, those who are saved, those who know the Lord. Here's what God's words are unto us. Hear them, listen to them, get them, take them. Verse 16, thy words, Jeremiah says, were found. Hey, encounter God's words. Encounter God's words. Find them. Jeremiah says, hey, you know, your words were found. I took your word, I got your words, found some words that you had for me. And sometimes, you know, the Lord is able to give us words through the preaching of his word, or through the study of his word, or through just reading a portion of scripture or something. The Lord's just able to sustain us. The Lord's able to just say, you know what? You encounter my word. Get into my word. Somehow get into my word. Because my words are good for you. My words are good to you. Encounter them. He says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Eat them. What's that mean? Well, that should be pretty obvious to us. I mean, we're talking about really taking them in, hearing them, meditating on them, really seeing the usefulness of them. How does this apply to my life? What does this mean to me? Eat them. What is this? Ultimately, when you get down to the into this, he's going to say, hey, they became joy and rejoicing to me, to my heart. So what are they? God's words are not to be seen and not just to be encountered as something that's a burden upon us as his people. His words are good for us. His words are intended to meet our needs. And hey, you know what? To put a smile on our faces. To cause us as his people, at least on our hearts. To cause us as his people that internally that we're a joyful people. That we're a people who the Lord is with us. He's not with everybody, but he's with us. And so he says, encounter his words. Eat his words. Jeremiah says, I did that. I found them. I ate them. And the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Enjoy them. Enjoy the words of the Lord. That's the intent. You know, sometimes we get thinking that God's word is just this rigid rule book. And I'm not saying that God is not a righteous God and God's not a holy God. He is. But for us to get the wrong impression of who God is and who we are to God is a bad thing. Because he has intentions, and his intentions toward us are good. And his purposes toward us are purposes to bring us to a place of joy in our lives. I believe that God wants every child of God to be rejoicing in him. I don't think there's an exception. That's the purpose of man, is to glorify God and to rejoice in him. Bring him glory that's due to him. And in fact, those two things kind of go together. When you're rejoicing in the Lord, you're glorifying him to the fullest degree that you can. Your heart rejoicing in him. He takes you to that place where that you don't just think, well, that's kind of neat. Well, that's quite a blessing. You rejoice in it. You're filled with joy for the relationship that you have with God. It's a loving relationship. When we have loving encounters, loving relationships in this world among people, it's a wonderful thing. It is a joyous thing. It causes joy. It causes us to have a different outlook on life. And so enjoy them. Enjoy the word, as he's saying here. Encounter it. Eat it. You know, I mean, do you ever enjoy something that you ate? I eat all the time. Way too much, probably. I enjoy it. In fact, I enjoy it so much that whenever, you know, okay, we're supposed to be on this diet, and we're supposed to be, yeah, okay, but maybe we can have this, you know. And we want to have a little something different, a little something extra that might be a little more tasty, and boy, it tastes good. Enjoy it. Enjoy what you eat. God's word is not something that is distasteful to the child of God if our approach is right, if our attitude is right, if our understanding and our perception of it is right. Encounter his word. Get into it. It'll help. Don't think it's just going to be gloomy for the rest of your days. Jeremiah is going through that kind of a time, but he says, hey, you know what? I've got the word, and the word can help me. The word can benefit me. I encountered it. I ate it. Enjoyed it. And then last of all, he says here in verse number 16, so thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name. Sounds like Romans chapter 8, verse 28, right? Romans 8, 28. He says, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The called. Everything's going to work out for the called. And he says here, I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So this became joy. The word of God became joy to me. It didn't become joy to any of the rest of Judah at this time. God's word was just rejected by the rest of Judah at this time. But for Jeremiah, it was joy to him. It was rejoicing of heart to him. It was something that when he encountered it and he wanted to encounter it, he ate it and he enjoyed it thoroughly, and it was a huge blessing to him. And so what is he going to do? What's the last thing? Extol him. not the word, but extol him. Extol. What is to extol? Extol is to praise enthusiastically. Praise God enthusiastically. Because why are you praising God? Because he gave the word to begin with. He's the one that's given us his wonderful and amazing word. And all his glorious promises that are ours and that do cause joy to our lives as his people. And extol him, praise him enthusiastically because he called you unto salvation. Because he's the one that made you what you are. He has put you in that place. Jeremiah, you are who you are because I called you into salvation, called you unto eternal life. And he says, so Jeremiah says, hey, I looked at the word, I found it, I ate it. The word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Why? Why? What's different about him and the rest of the people there? For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I'm called by thy name. And so those that are the Lord's people, there's a special sense in which the word of God has a special place in our lives and in our hearts, and it is always for our good. It is always to bring joy upon the Lord's people. Bring us to that state of joy. Where are we now? Are we in that state of joy? And that's the thing. We may be suffering, and there may be grief, and there may be difficulties, there may be trials of all different kinds of things that are going on the outside. We read about them here with Jeremiah, still pleading with the Lord that they be removed. But internally, at the same time, he's rejoicing in the Lord because he's one of the Lord's people, and he belongs to the Lord. And the Lord has been so good to him, and his word has become a joy to his heart. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us today. Thank you for the word. And we just thank you for the way in which that sometimes as we read the scriptures, we don't see through the forest for all the trees. And yet, Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to see and help us, Lord, to get a better understanding, a better perception, Lord, of your will and your purposes in our lives. But especially also, Lord, that you might bring us to these passages of Scripture that in all around them there seems to be dismay, but that you've got this treasure, you've got this nugget of gold for us, Lord, that is a blessing to us and that's an encouragement to our hearts and that's a reminder of how much you do care and how much you do love us. And we just pray that you might help us to take those reminders and to be filled with joy from them. Lord, we just pray for help that we'd get to your word the way we ought to, that you'd draw us closer to you and that you'd bring us, Lord, to see in that your word is that love story and that love letter to us. And we just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to read it. Help us, Lord, as well to encounter it whatever, in whatever way. But Lord, bless that we might take it in and that we might really see the benefits that it brings to us as your people and giving us that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We'll give you the praise for all what you do now. In Jesus' name, amen.